Our Old Testament reading today comes from Isaiah 54:10-17. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony and lay your foundation with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of agate, your gates of carbuncles, and all your wall of precious stones. All of your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In his righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. If anyone stirs up strife, it is not from me. Whoever stirs up strife with you shall fall because of you. Behold, I have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its purpose. I have also created the ravager to destroy. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. And our New Testament reading comes from John 14:25-31. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love him. Rise, let us go from here. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Peace. Peace is a tough one. I know it's going to sound weird, but I preach on everything. Sexual ethics, I preach on joy and love, and I preach on division and unity and all those things. And every time I get to peace, I get a reaction. And I think it's because we are not a very peaceful species. Now, there was an illusion from some schooling out in academia. By the way, modern academia is not what you thought of it. It is gone quite off the rails. This study said that human beings were peaceful and lived within the climate and the environment for hundreds and thousands of years until the modern way of thinking came and industry, and all of a sudden violence came with it. It's a very common teaching. Here's the problem with that. It's BS. I mean, that's bovine feces to you guys. Thank you. The simple truth is, everything we know archaeologically is everybody exhibited violence. It wasn't based on the color of the skin or where they were at. This right here is one of the oldest skulls that we've ever found. Guess what that is on the top of his head? Spearhead. Okay? So they went and they've dug up all over Africa, America, indigenous, in Australia, and in every case, every bone shows that they've been at war. It's in our DNA. In fact, it's probably more real than most people want to admit, especially when you've been living in a culture like ours that's been pretty well off. But let me ask you, do you think if things fell apart, people wouldn't return to violence? Before you answer that, I just want to use two words, toilet paper. Remember that? If that didn't make you a little disappointed in humanity, I don't know what would. But Jesus is coming in here and he's saying something profound, isn't he? And it's a principle from Isaiah on through that he's about peace. That's his character. How in the world does he bring it? And secondly, how do we bear that witness? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you being so good to us. You have loved us. You have given us life. And we thank you. Breathe upon us today, and may you be given all glory for the one who brought true peace to this world. Amen. Well, in Jesus' day, guess what? Things were violent. I don't know if you knew that. It was very violent. Except they had this one thing that kept it from going totally off the rails, and it was called the Pax Romana. Have you heard that before? The Peace of Rome, created 30 BC by our friends Octavian and Mark Antony. They came up with this idea on how to run Rome with all these new empires. And what they did is they created the Peace of Rome. And what that meant is Rome would come into your country and provide peace through their might. But, here's the trick, you had to pay for that peace. So it was a little similar to the gangsters back in the 50s who would go in the neighborhood and said, we're here for protection, to protect you. But it really was just to protect the person from the very gangsters that were coming to get the money. You see, the Romans were the biggest threat in antiquity. And the Pax Romana was everything, and the Jews hated it. The Jews hated it because you had to pay big bucks for this right to have the Romans in your land, making things sure things go peaceful. I want to say that because this is the world that these people lived in. They don't live in our world. They live in their world. And their hatred of this peace could not be so great, and to the point where they wanted to use violence to get rid of it. Now, Jesus' cohort around them were all revolutionaries. You need to know that. I know that when you were a little kid, you thought Peter and John were all these nice, sweet guys. They're zealots. They're angry. Why does Peter have a sword in the garden? Because they are revolutionaries. They're looking to change things, and they think they've got the right guy, Jesus Christ, who can bring a peace. But what they want in their minds is a peace like Rome, just bigger and better and theirs. They wanted, in a sense, the peace or the Pax Judea rather than the Pax Romana. That's the world they're living in. So when we get to the text in John, this is the light of what he's saying. These things, you know, he has just told them that he's going to go and die. None of them can figure that out. No Messiah was supposed to die. Everyone believed that the Messiah that was going to bring the Pax Judea was going to destroy the Romans. And they're upset. He says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of what I've said to you. By the way, if you want a reason to trust the scriptures, Jesus has just given it, doesn't he? He's just said, human memory is not great. I will send my Spirit. And he does give them the remembrance of what was said. All right. Now he says this powerful, powerful word, shalom. Well, why use the word shalom? Because that would have been the word. Means peace, but it doesn't just mean absence of conflict with a fellow person, but it means a peace inside, a wholeness. And most importantly, a peace with God. Okay. So he says, shalom, I leave with you. My shalom, I give to you. So here he's saying, I'm giving this out to you. Notice there's no cost. This isn't the Pax Romana. This is, I'm just going to give it. Not as the world gives. Well, how does the world give peace? Through a sword. Right? And has anything ever really changed? Let me ask you that honestly. When you see all the empires over the years, the English Empire, the Japanese Empire, the Russian Empire, what's the one thing that you can do is as long as you pay the bills, you're safe. But what happens, even in the American Empire, when you stop paying the bills? See Iraq, 1990. All of a sudden, you're brought back in line. Do not be under any illusion we're better. So we have this world, but he says, I do not give as the world gives. So what does he give? Well, he doesn't stop there. Let not your hearts be troubled. Well, I'm going to tell you, their hearts were deeply troubled. They lived in a world of oppression, violence, and Rome. Neither let them be afraid. In other words, he's saying, with this peace, you can have peace within. I would argue that most Christians don't have a peace within because they don't actually consider the peace Jesus brought and the promise within. You heard me say, I am going away and I will come to you. This is the whole part, of course, we know as the crucifixion and resurrection. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. What does he mean by that? I thought Jesus was God. Well, he is. So what does he mean by the Father is greater than my? Because Jesus Christ, when he came and became human, has emptied himself of his divine authority. So at this point, the Father is greater, isn't he? That doesn't make him less God, because Jesus wanted to empty himself so that he could become one of us, so that he could save us. And why going to the Father? To be rejoiced, because then he can start to set things right. Jesus steps in where we cannot. Do you understand that? He does something we cannot do because he was true, sinless human being. Because he didn't try and be like God, even though he was. He did the opposite of the creation story. Adam fell and conflict comes out. Jesus is faithful and peace comes. Because I am going to the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place. And now we're going to hear about the reality of this world, the violence. So that when it does take place, you may believe. Because what was the one thing they couldn't believe? You'll notice that they keep following Jesus right up to one moment. Do you know when that was? The cross. Because the cross to them was failure, and that means he lost. Do you understand? Why is Jesus telling them this, that this is God's plan? Because he knows what's going to happen. He's going to be denied. They're going to run away. Because that's not the kind of king they want. They want a king that brings peace through the sword. I will no longer talk much with you, he says, for the ruler of this world is coming. This is debated, by the way. You can read this two ways. Yes, it could be the Satan. The dragon is always behind the beast in Revelation. Or is he talking about the Romans? They do rule that world. The he could be Pilate, or maybe he's talking. We don't know. He has no claim on me. Why does he have no claim? Because Jesus doesn't live in that type of world. You know when you have a claim on someone is when you're terrified to die. Because that's how Pax Romana works. We'll give you peace, you pay us. But if you don't, we'll kill you. And we're going to hang you up on a cross right outside the city. But he doesn't have the claim on him because Jesus isn't living for this age. And certainly the devil doesn't have claim on him because Jesus is sinless. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so the world may know that I love the Father. That's the point. He's the true human. He's the one that truly loves the Father. And here's a hard thing for us. Human beings, by their nature, do not love God. That's why they create gods in their image. They create a God that they can like. Human beings, by their nature, have chosen to worship something else. Jesus came and he was the true one that loved God. And then he goes, rise, let us go from here. Where is he going to end up going? To that cross. So violence is coming, The bad guy's coming. The peace of this world, Rome or Satan, is coming. And Jesus says, I've won. And then he offers us that he's going to give us shalom. Well, how do we get that? Well, first we have to realize, and I'm going to hit this again and again, that in this world, might makes right. Always has and always will. Every empire has used violence and force to control people. Anybody grow up and go to middle school? If you can debate that might makes right, then you didn't go to my school. It's always been the case. Now, I know there's some ladies out there that are saying, well, we didn't fight. I've seen what young girls do to each other in middle school. That is violence. It's just on social media. It's in us, you guys. And it was funny, even the people in Rome who were not Christians saw that Rome was manipulating through this peace Romana. Seneca describes the Pax Romana like this: successful crime is dignified with the name of virtue. We're bringing peace. The good become the slaves of the impious. Might makes right. Fear silences the power of the law. That's how it worked. So the bad guys come in and say, look, we're all for you. And then what they do is they terrify you into changing. Good thing the world's changed, eh? Come on. Do you not see the same thing going on in our political environment today? That people are using all kinds of wonderful words, how they're for us, only to dominate us? The world itself, and I'm going to end on this because I don't want it to be... Well, no, I'm going to tell you something. Why it works is it works. Violence. Why a lack of peace works is because it works in our world. You need to believe that and understand that. Let me give you a personal example of when I realized that. When I was in grade 8, I was a short, pudgy guy. Okay? Like I was one of the shortest guys. I know that's hard to believe. And because of that, as you know what life's like, I got bullied. And anyone who's been bullied knows it sucks. I actually remember spending half a day inside of a locker, which when you were a chubby guy wasn't the most comfortable thing. I remember being thrown around, thrown in ice, you know, just general bullying stuff. It sucked. Grade 9, I got a little taller. Grade 10, I decided this is the worst. So I started to do Hapkido, which is a Korean martial art. Anyways, they taught you how to punch, to kick, and all of these things. And it didn't hurt, by the way, that I grew a foot. So now, rather than being the little guy, I'm 6'4". And what happened through this process is, as I was gaining confidence, finally somebody had done something really awful to me. Very embarrassing. You know what it's like to be in grade 10 and somebody embarrasses you. So I decided, that's it. And I lost my mind. And I went looking for this guy in school. I didn't care. I wasn't going to wait till after school. And I hit him so hard I broke his cheekbone, his orbital bone. That poor kid had 2.5 years of bullied frustration come at him. That poor kid. The worst part of this thing, the most shocking, was how my life changed. You want to know what happened? Girls started calling me. These tough guys that used to bully me now wanted to be my friend. That wasn't my plan going in, but all of a sudden I said, this works. You do that and people go, all right. And so I made a vow, and I did, that I would never, ever back down again, and I didn't. But then I ran into Jesus. See, I like Jesus, but I struggle with this stuff. Because I know how much easier life is when you smack him in the face. Wasn't that Mike Tyson's great line? about people on social media. Everyone's tough until they get punched in the face. Right? You see, because it is work, and you have to come to terms with that. That's why the world uses it. But Jesus clearly says he does not give peace like the world, doesn't he? Well, if you're worried about the world being good on its own, I like this quote. This is Don Carson. The world is powerless to give peace. There is sufficient hatred, selfishness, bitterness, malice, anxiety, and fear that every attempt at peace is rapidly swamped. The world promises peace and waves the flag of peace as a greeting. It cannot give it. The truth is, folks, some of the people calling for peace the most are also the ones that are burning the cities. Have you noticed that in these last few years? Because it's not in us, bought by nature. But Jesus says he brought the peace. What was he talking about? There's only one true peace. And it comes between us and God. Because if we don't have that peace, we will never have this peace. And what Jesus did is he gave us peace by setting us right with God. What he did is he stood in our place because we, by our nature, are in conflict with God because we want to be God. We want to look like God. We want to make gods. And when Jesus carried that cross and he got nailed there, he says, "It is finished." I think what he means there is this conflict is done on my end. Because I have taken all of your hatred and your sin and everything upon myself. That's the shalom he offers for free. There's no cost. If you want to be in that kingdom, you get the peace for free. And no one has a right to tell you how much you owe for it. This is the fundamental good news of what we're discussing. Jesus bore the penalty that our sins deserve in order that he might enjoy, that we might enjoy the peace that he provides. That peace had to be dealt with before every other peace. You know how I know? Because I've read Genesis. What does it start off? God's walking in the cool of day. We try and become like God. We get the curse. And the second first story we get are two brothers. And what do? They kill each other. And the whole part of Revelation is a tragedy story. Genesis is a tragedy about how little we love peace. That's how we get it. But it's not quite all the way there, is it? If you're really honest with yourself, are you always super peaceful with your neighbor? How about your husband or wife? Liars. We aren't by nature still, but it's like the Lord has given us this peace, but there's still this thing going on. That's why we practice Advent. Advent is also expectation. We heard last week, we have the first fruits, the first taste of the Spirit, but we groan, right? Remember that? In Romans, we are groaning for this peace. So what Advent is the reminder we're not there, but it is coming. We're like the disciples who are grieving that he's gone, but also he's saying, this is the best because by me going, I'm coming back. And what's he going to bring with us, with himself, is peace. True peace. Advent for us is to celebrate that and live this as if it's true. I love this quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I don't know if you can see it. This is one you want to put at home. If we want to participate this Advent and Christmas event, we cannot simply sit there like spectators in a theater and enjoy all the friendly pictures. Rather, we must join in the action that is taking place and be drawn into the reversal of all things ourselves. Here, we too must act on the stage, for here the spectator is always a person acting in the drama. We cannot remove ourselves from the action. Advent isn't just sitting there waiting. It's expectantly acting. So even though the world is not peaceful, Advent invites us to start living the future today with expectation that it will be fulfilled, to actually decide to be peaceful even with your enemy. That's what carrying your cross means. That we have to do something nice and kind and peaceful. Offer rightness in relationships with people you hate. And I got to tell you, this is tough. I have a neighbor that you probably heard about. And in my instinct, I want to hit him so bad. That's a God's honest truth. But God is gracious. He's gracious to me and he says, Emery, I'm about peace. And so, you know what he's had me do? The Lord has laid on my heart. I pray for this guy every day. You know the funny thing when you pray for somebody? You can't really hate him quite the same. But that's a practical example of how we bring peace. Because that person, unless he has a major conversion, is never going to make me want to be peaceful with him. But that's not the option. If we as the church started acting like Jesus did, willing to sacrifice each other through peace, could you imagine the attraction we'd have from all the people that have been beat up? Having peace is such an important point of being a Christian, and yet it's the hardest one for us to do. Because I know right now, when I told you about my enemy, you probably thought of your enemy. Right? And you may well have thought how much they deserve the justice. I'll tell you, my friend, be careful for longing for justice, because if we got justice, we wouldn't be here right now. Because God has every right to take us out. So now, this week, I'm challenging you and myself to live peace. Live a peace that only comes in right relationship with God. You'll only get this as you walk with the Spirit, as you praise and pray and you walk with God. That's the only way it will come to you, because it's not in you by nature. Remind yourself, again, Bonhoeffer, with the birth of Jesus, the great kingdom of peace has begun. When you fell in love with Jesus, when you gave your life, you chose to join his kingdom. And his kingdom is not a kingdom of violence. You find me one place in the New Testament where Jesus says, you know what, Peter, it's okay. I know you don't like John down there. Give him a shot in the head. You find me anything like that? Or you know what? Yeah, it's unjust, these Romans. Let's stick a few knives in them. Just a few. No. It says, love your enemy. Again, we're not going to be able to do this without Jesus. Jesus is center. It's in focusing on Jesus that will get the peace. Not focusing on peace as an end of itself. Let me say that again. It's only in Jesus we're going to get that, because his life comes through us. So it's not just about saying, I'm going to try really hard to be peaceful. It's living in Jesus Christ and reminding himself who he is. I love Corrie Ten Boom. I looked on Jesus and the dove of peace entered my heart. I looked at the dove of peace and lo, off it went. It's in looking at Jesus that peace will come. Peace, even in a place where you should be reacting in hatred and anger. You will be shocked as you spend time with Jesus how much you'll say, wow, I used to want to thump somebody for that, and now I want to pray. You know how I know? Because that's been my experience. But this thing called peace that we're doing Advent, we're living for, I'm going to tell you right now, it's something that we have to continuously work for. In that text today, when he said, the peace I give you, the peace I offer you, is in the present tense. That's really important. I'll tell you why. These present tense verbs mean that Jesus' peace is a continual gift to be received with faith by all subsequent hearers and readers of our text day after day and every day. A gift to be received with faith by all hearers and readers of our text day after day. The present tense says it isn't something you get once. It's something you live in. You soak yourself in day after day. Because if you don't, that other old guy called the old Adam is right there. And he likes violence. But he's the one also that killed Jesus. This is my last statement, and I hope I don't get killed. I have not yet been able to convince myself that violence and Christianity ever works together. As much as I like it. And that to truly walk with Jesus Christ means truly laying down your right for violence. I'll leave it with you what that would look like. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your amazing grace to me. That you did not bring peace through a sword, which would have killed me, but peace through forgiveness. Lord, I confess to you, I am not a peaceful person. I groan to you to help me to begin to look like you, and I groan for the people out here. Can Mountain View please be known as a place of peace? May your Spirit lead us. May Jesus Christ's Spirit enter each one of us so that we can truly love, not like this world gives, but like you give. Remind us that your kingdom is a kingdom of peace. And remind us that we are called into that. In Jesus' name, amen.